Well, thank you, Tim.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm missing it. I'm going to have a meeting.
May I take this opportunity I want to take this opportunity to welcome honorable members who are here for this our meeting, and also welcome the officials from the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry. We say that it is our first time to meet with the officials from Water Affairs and Forestry. And we would indicate that their DG called me yesterday night to say that it's not going to be available because it's put off by a doctor instead of labs to be here. We have decided to meet with the Department of Water and Forestry because of the task that you have. The task of providing schools with water and sanitation. We basically are dealing with education. We are mainly interested in educational methods in schools because we are a committee on education, agriculture, science and technology. But when we interacted with the Department of Education, we were then told that you have been given that responsibility of providing water and sanitation to schools. So we therefore deem this fit that we should actually have a meeting with you so that you tell us of the program that you have in place in order to address this very big problem in our schools. We would know that water is one of the human rights. If you deny a person water, you have actually denied that person of a basic right which is enshrined in our Bill of Rights, in our Constitution. And we are aware that many of our schools out there, especially in the rural areas, do not have water, do not have toilets. And we are saying that's the very thing of the enlightenment on ourselves as government. Although the bedrock, I mean, we come from far back. But for proper education to take place, for proper teaching and learning, for proper didactic situation to be realized in a school, you need to have these basic things, water. When we do our oversight from time to time, we go to some of the schools where we find that the kids during learning hours, they've got to walk long distances to go into the forest in order to relieve themselves. And that, among other things, puts girl child in a dangerous situation because in those forests where they've got to relieve themselves, they actually get raped. So, it is our belief that this is a very, very important function that the Department of Water Affairs has of provisioning of water and sanitation in our schools, for our schools to run normally. Now, because this is our first meeting, we will have to introduce ourselves so that we know who we're talking to. I've already indicated that we are a select committee on education, science and technology, arts and culture, sports and recreation. We deal with many things in the NCOP. You would know that the NCOP is a very small house made out of about 54 people. Now these 54 people are going to do the work that is done by more than 400 people in the NA. So basically we are jacks of all trades and we seem not to be mastering any. of this place. But these that is made, we are a community of 10, but here I can see over 6 members. I'm told that there is another committee, another meeting, joint rules committee, joint rules meeting that is taking place, and some of our members are in that meeting. So those that are here are those that we will be dealing with today. My name is CAC. My surname is Dolo. I am representing Mpumalanga in the National Council of Provinces, as you know that the National Council of Provinces is a house that represents different provinces. And I'll allow other members to introduce themselves, and thereafter I will allow the department to introduce itself. I don't know who the head of the delegation is, but there she is. It's led by a woman.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am Mohammed Suleiman, representing the Northern Cape Province.
Choice
Matthew,
Northwest Province. Thank you.
The secretary of the committee. Then we have got the Arigo there, who's also the secretary of the committee. I will now allow the head of, I mean the head of the delegation, to introduce herself and her delegation.
I'm managing the national sanitation program. I will allow each other to
thank you, Chairperson. I'm Kalelo Mbambisa, I'm the acting chief director for the Eastern Cape.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Mpumi Mbega, representing KwaZulu-Natal as the chief director.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Kwasha Makaya, also working for the National Office.
My name is Madhubani. I'm the chief director for the Limpopo province. Thank you.
I'll ask this gentleman to introduce himself to. He is the researcher of the committee. But do it, Jim.
My name is David Bandi. I'm the researcher for the state committee on most state matters. Thank you.
PMG?
I'm Caroline Christmas from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group, PMG.
Now that you know who is here and who we're talking to, we can start engaging. The lady that just walked in came from the Eastern Cape. My tongue is cheating. She is a member of the committee. She is representing the Eastern Cape in the committee or in the NCOP. All provinces are represented, but there are those that are not here now. Maybe they will join us later on. I am now going to allow the department to take us through their presentation, and thereafter we will engage. I'm very happy to see that directors and chief directors from the provinces are also here, who actually not just give us, just a general picture, but also a specific of what it is that is happening. What are the programs that they've put in place? And when are they hoping to eliminate this shortage of water in the schools, or this whole question of sanitation also in the schools? I hope we get clear picture of what's happening in the province. Your province is not here, unfortunately. Yours is not here as well.
Northwest.
Yeah, Northwest has a lot of kids. Limpopo also not here. I'm in terms of member.
No, Limpopo.
Oh, Limpopo is here, yeah. No, your members are not here. Thank you. The ball is now in your court. Madam who?
Potulo.
Potulo.
Yeah.
Good.
the reason why we have to consult, because you said when we implement that we food and put water to bathe, and go tomorrow and put electricity, and then other day we put sanitation, we're going to treat each food as a project. When we go there, we provide all these services to require electricity, because we're coming with GMP, and water and sanitation. So this framework document, it puts up some guiding principles, what needs to happen before such and such to happen. Because, for instance, we cannot do anything if we don't know the backlog, if we don't know where are these schools, because we need to know what are the conditions on the ground. Can we provide water for, can we provide the IT, or can we provide solar systems? Those are the conditions that we put on the ground. We're not exactly what are we doing. We got the money in April, we spent together from structures, steering committees, and debated these issues, and we submitted the government. And we cannot, in this draft, implement this program without consulting the department, the provincial department of education. Because this department has been implementing, so I've been implementing the infrastructure program, and they're still delivering water and sanitation and in this school. So we need to ensure that we integrate the two programs. So we need to consult with them to say, how far are they going to go with their infrastructure package to provide water and sanitation? And we say how far God can go with the little money we have. And then the framework for allocation, we first agree that we prioritize those schools to say and mention that has got nothing. The other schools really which kids have to go behind the tree or the river to relieve themselves. So we're going to prioritize those schools. And then we go to schools with inadequate infrastructure. In most schools, you find that there are toilets, but they are falling apart, but they can't have that. The water is dropped by chemicals and all those things. So those schools also with inadequate infrastructure, we are going to prioritize them. Thereafter, we will see, we look at issues of O&M, if the money is enough, but the current money is not enough. It's 900 million we are having for this program. It's not enough. We still have to go back to National Trust and ask for more money. But it will take some way to deal with infrastructure which has got nothing or inadequate. It has been agreed that the money available this year, which is 105 million, will be sent to tell us to deal with the backlog in clinics, because the reason for that is because the clinic target is December this year. So we are saying let's just deal with the clinics this year. And then whatever is remaining, which is almost like about 5% of the allocations for this year, we can deal with those critical schools which don't have anything or agenda. And then the remaining to all kinds of this budget, as I said, that this is about 5% will deal with schools as well. It's very few schools. We won't be many, really. This is a governance structure. The person accountable for this program is our Director General, which is delegated to the DDG, which is with operations, DDG region, Mrs. Sande Rambatma, but she is not here today. And the DDG region, I am the Chief Director responsible for the implementation of this water and sanitation at national level. And at national level, we have also, I don't have that simple point, I'll be pointing the way I'm talking. We have established a steering committee, a task team, which is going to be overseeing this giving strategic guidance. This national steering committee comprises of the department content, the Department of Education, Department of Health and Drugs, National Treasury, this is the national steering committee, which is the strategic direction. And then the maybe block this one. Is the official which are working with me, my director implementation and my director coordination. They are the ones who are on a day-to-day basis dealing with these issues of implementation in my office. And then on the other side, we have also the provincial health team where again the departments involved at the provincial level are also involved. They also monitor the implementation. They will also monitor the implementation this strategic clarity and concerns backlog And then as important, we will also have our draft for each one also to say to people who are actually doing the implementation and also to the Department of Education at local level. Those are the people, and the Department of Health is also there. Those are the people who will be dealing with issues of implementation. They will be appointing, implementing agents to do the work. They will be monitoring the implementation and also reporting to all chief stakeholders on progress. It is important to note that, I think I mentioned before, that this money is just a top-up for the funds already available to the provincial department, the infrastructure department of education. They are the people who are responsible for delivering water, sanitation, and schools, and things. So this money is just a top-up. They do have programs running currently in the province which deliver these services. But we have realized that what happens at the provincial level, they only deal with extensions and also new schools. And you saw that schools in the ex-home land, they don't take off there. So those schools that once they have been collaborated with us, nobody is taking care of them. That's why we try to understand the first program, that there should be a program which really focuses to those schools in the ex-home land so that we deal with the backlog there. So the current infrastructure program, which is managed by the province from the Department of Education, is mainly dealing with extensions and new schools. And we will be focusing mainly in those schools which were when we get tested for a long time. So in doing so, we have to integrate the two programs so that we know exactly what is the backlog at the end of the day. So somebody will say a backlog, meaning a backlog of new schools. And we say, and God will be talking about education, yes, no, we're talking about backlog, meaning the backlog which exists in the ex-homeland. So we need to know exactly the extent of the backlog. That's why we are saying we need to integrate the two programs and provide those strategic directions to the people who are implementing. Here is just to say what has been done or what will be done. So, what has been done and what will be done to get the program implemented. As I've said before, the implementation program has been developed and submitted to the Minister of Education for approval by February when we knew that we're going to have this money. We are in the process of confirming the backlog because, as you know, the schools are scattered, and if you want to get the information from the Department of Education, because the officials, they keep on changing and things change. Nobody really can tell exactly how many of those schools are having that backlog of water and sanitation. And also the definition of backlog. People would say that because there's a tanker, that school doesn't have a service. And maybe in Drago are saying if there's a tanker, it doesn't have a service. So we are just agreeing on the definition. As we said, we deal with schools with nothing, but in then follow with schools with inadequate, but all that compromise is referred to as a backlog by both the Department of Education and what happens. And you see, when I have this 85% of money for the school program, we said we will go back to the provinces and ask them to identify the critical schools. And I remember there was a school for instance in and this was shown on TV sometime in the morning, which had really serious problems with sanitation. When I say critical school, I'm referring to those schools which really, really need to be attended this year with the little money we have. Another thing, it's not one shoe fits all when it comes to technology. Some schools are in deep rural areas where it's mountainous and rocky, and some are in sandy areas. We need to determine the kind of technology we're going to be using to provide service, especially sanitation, because it's really important to know exactly your terrain when you provide sanitation, because you cannot provide the equipment, the water cables that go and even as contaminants, groundwater. So we need to determine technological options which are going to be used in providing those services to schools. And in the allocation of budget to provincial offices, because it's not the money. This money is not going to be transferred to provinces. It's a drug, it's a what 24 money which is administered by drug. We are only going to be just giving it to our regional offices which are drug and they are also extension of drug national, which are going to be implementing agents for the Department of Education. So that has been done. The regional officers, the chief directors are here. We have notified them of the allocation and they are busy appointing implementing agents. Police assistant case and the reform of this idea, they have appointed implementing agents already. And some provinces like KZN, they are going to use the existing implementing agents which are currently being used by the provincial Department of Education to deliver the infrastructure for the water and sanitation infrastructure. But you go to other provinces which don't have too much backlog, I know. They also have their implementing agent appointed by August to open. And also we have program managers, specific program managers for the project in our regional office appointed. Some of them were there before, but now we are saying each regional office must have a dedicated program manager to manage the program. Because it's not a program which is going to end in December, it's a program which is going to run probably up to 209, but I'll come to that point later. And as I said, we need to identify the existing implementing agents in this capacity because the program is being implemented by the province, the Department of Education. They are using maybe water boards, they are using public web. So we need to check which ones which have the good track record, which we can give them the money to go ahead and continue the implementation that they are doing. Now, this is just a milestone, what has happened, what needs to happen when, as I've said just now, the regional program managers are there and in case the government hasn't been established, implementation standards defined, that is implementing agency appointed or others that will be appointed, and yet any details provincial project again in case based on the current available information, as I said, we are currently confirming the backlog, so we admit if everything is confirmed, we will say everything is 100% in place, but we are in a process to do that. And all back infrastructure in case dependency of process is defined, because some projects, especially those who will need water board sanitation system, they will need a bus infrastructure, that's why bus. There must be some water supply and a wastewater treatment plant in case. We are trying to identify those food which will depend on bus water supply before it can be provided. And then we are expecting that the fresh water supply will be delivered by October 15th. And the first project will be delivered by October 16th. We have some challenges in this program. So that everything is going smooth, there are some challenges. The budget itself is not enough. If you look at the backlog, the figures I presented before, there's a lot to be done. The budget is not enough, it's only for water and sanitation, it's only 2 million and 5 million. Yes, that is it. 65 million to be exact in the budget for water and sanitation over the MTF. So it's really not enough for water and sanitation. It's really not enough. If you forget the deadlock available. And the physical condition of the existing infrastructure increases the backlog, as many of them fall under inadequate. Most schools, they have water supply, they depend on water changers, and they have some kids' toilet for teachers. So those schools, they need infrastructure. We have to cover them in. We cannot say they do have something. So our backlog is increasing. Because even the infrastructure which is there is not of up to standard, we only talk about up to standard. and more speaking, look at now they hear that there is money available for water and sanitation and electricity. And then when they, we talk about sanitation now, they come on and they say, we need water for. And this thing, we need water for this, is a particular thing. For instance, if a community around is having water for systems now, in the toilet, and then you put a school, and the I feel really it's not right. So we have to look around and check what kind of sanitation is provided to the household. So it should match with the full one. So you can't provide the IP when around is waterborne infrastructure in combination. What is critical is that the target for water and sanitation was to open and we never met it. And it was agreed at the cabinet reporter, final cabinet reporter, that the Minister of Education and the Minister of Water Affairs and Policy, they should agree on a new target. And as I said, the money which is available this year is available over the MTF. So I've been talking to the Minister of Education of Water Affairs saying, if it was me, I would agree that the target for school be also 209, 210, so that it matches with the MTF allocation. But this allocation is going to happen over 3 years, as mentioned before, in my second slide in the presentation. That is this year is 105 million and the left financial is 20 to 210 million. The third part, the other financial, the last one, the outer year is 350 million for water and sanitation. If we want this thing to be the target to be next year, it would mean that we have to refer to national standard to bring forward this 351 next year. And I've tried to do that with the budget allocation the whole year. Or a negotiation with National it didn't happen. They always say, if the budget is allocated over the MTF, it's just an indication budget. The government doesn't have that money. It is only the cabinet when the money is supposed to be allocated that year. So it's difficult to move forward the money if it's been allocated over the MTF. So that's why I was saying to my minister that I won't advise that the program, the target is for school is set for 209, 2010, yeah, financial year. And then another something which we have to do is this integration of this draft program, this question we have with the provincial infrastructure. Department of Education Infrastructure Program, because we really need to work together. And also finalize the implementation plan by provincial infrastructure plan. And also ensure that the implementation appointed as scheduled at least by August, so we have all implementation implementing agents in place. Thank you.
Thank you very much, madam. Do we have anybody who wants to make an addition, especially from the province? Honorable Suleiman was telling me here that he really expected concrete facts to say in this province, this is where we are. So far in this financial year, from March up to now, we have eliminated the whole question of federal water in so many schools. And you hope that by in a month we are able to deliver so many. In the end of the financial year, we shall have delivered so many. In sanitation, so far we think in what we have done from the beginning of the financial year, this we got this money. This is what we have been able to deliver, and this is what we think we'll be able to deliver at the end of the year. Honorable Suleiman was telling me that now, you hope they know. So I'm just asking him, is anybody among you who would like to make an addition?
Okay, sir. I'll ask you the cabinet experts who have a friend.
Thank you.
Sorry, I see there's a head here. Yeah. I'm not yet coming for your question.
Yeah, it's not question time, but second thing. If each province can tell us about the developments in their provinces and their deliveries, not only KZN.
Please, you don't disturb the speaker who is on the floor. She is protected by this shepherd. Go on, madam.
My friend shepherd, I'm sorry.
Bazul Nata?
Che, Adin, what one can say is that the leader of our delegation has indicated, Che, that they are, let's say, particularly cases, and there is another program that is running that we are not directly involved in, that we are beginning to influence now. A program led by the Department of Education in the province, where they have started since the beginning of the financial year to build toilets in various schools and connect boards. What we are then busy doing currently in KZN is to link up with that very program. That is why there is a proposal that says probably instead of KZN appointing a service provider to deliver on this program, we would rather piggyback on the program that has been started by the province. What we are busy doing, we're busy reconciling the figures. That is why when you look at the slide where there are figures talking about the schools with inadequate sanitation, this figure has not been confirmed as the actual figures. There is, for instance, a report that we got in the province about three months ago, which said that there was no backlog in schools in KZN in terms of sanitation facilities, which on our own, when we went out to look at the situation, we picked up that it was not necessarily a reflection of a true setup. So we still need to confirm those. We will be able to then present a picture that says these are the figures that we're dealing with in KZN, probably by the month of July, when we would have started running with the program. As it stands now, the answers that are required will only be made available by the program that is being led by the Department of Education. It will be difficult for DWARF to actually come forward and say, this is how much has been eradicated, because we still have not even agreed on the figures of the backlog.
Yeah, no, definitely it would be unfair of us to ask you to answer on a program that is led by another department. But you are saying in your own ways that the Department of Education, from the beginning of the year up to now, they are busy rolling out this program. And you are not rolling out yet, you're still in the planning stage. That's my little one. And it's already about, you know, the first quarter of the year has already ended. It's ending, Father. And you're still planning and you're still not sure what the backlog is, and, you know, that's my little problem. You're still verifying. It takes you the whole quarter to verify. And when are you going to start implementing? You see, that's my little worry from the chairperson. Yes, madam.
Thank you, Chair. The money became available on 1st of April. And it's February, May. We have done some work. Instead that we have developed a framework, it's a consultative process where we don't sit in the office and do it alone. And we have gone out to verify the facility backlog in consultation with the provincial departments of education and national board of education. And after consulting the backlog, we need now to sit down and say, okay, the backlog is 20,000 to these schools who have sanitation or water. What are the taking all the options we need to utilize? Because somebody has to, an engineer has to go to that school or a planner, whoever, should go to that school and depending now, this is a school in this mountain. What is the terrain here? What is possible? And how much is going to utilize? Because now we're going to allocate the budget per school, to say a school so is going to need 200,000. It's a lot of work which has happened to come up to a stage where we are saying, at this time, we will start constructing those toilets or putting those water pipes. To deal with an infrastructure program, it's not as easy as, like, you can decide that this is money is going to happen. There's a lot of a heat period for planning, so that when you start building, it goes like this. It's not like we want to even admit is saying something is wrong, we have to ensure that there will be no 40 network constructions that if you do are strong, but we only have 5% of that 105, which is 5% maybe 10 million or 20 million available for school program. Really, this year, there is much we are going to do on school program because the money is for clinics. Almost all money is for clinics. I wouldn't even count the 5% if two different. It would be one or two or four or five clinics to be dealt with because each clinic, each school needs almost 200,000 or more to put water and sanitation. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I hear what you are saying. Coincidentally, I'm also dealing with health matters in this committee, you know. And clinics are also our interest. The problem is, we did not know in April when we received the money that we will have the money. We did not know in April. But the reason why we have got what we call MTR, multi-year planning, is that every department knows years in advance as to what it is that they're going to be getting the food. You know at least a year before what you're going to be getting the following year. That is empty. That's the reason why. It means therefore that planning and everything has got to take place before. The only thing that you did not do before the actual work is paid. Because you don't have the money. But all these other processes of planning and that we can do them years before. So that at the time of the money, when the money comes, to start rolling it up. That's my understanding for the MT. If I see you shaking your head, you think that is not a shake. Come, tell us.
Okay. Chair, I'm shaking my head because this is a special allocation. It was never mentioned in the previous year that there would be money allocated to drugs. Remember, all the infrastructure money now is just kept to me. It's administered by GPSG. And the money for schools and teams is not even in NIC program. It's with the provincial Department of Education that is implementing the program. We were told that this financial year we will have this amount.
When
the Minister of Finance announced the budget, beginning of the year, in February.
It's important for sure, sir.
Yeah?
Important. But not how government
works. It's really, this is a new allocation to drugs.
But your minister must have known that far before the day that the minister announced this year. Your HOD must have known that far before the minister announced this year. You see, those are presentations that are made to Treasury months and months before. The decision that there is money that goes to a certain department is not taken by Trevor Manuel on the day of this thing here. It's a process that takes place far long before he makes his announcement here. And therefore that the department knew it on the day Trevor announced here is a balance. But he that is may, I think we should not engage in some dialogue. I'm going to allow other members to ask questions.
Chair, can you before members?
Yeah.
I think, Chair, what you are articulating is the process that is going to happen. And of course, it makes a lot of sense to say, if DWAF goes to National Treasury and say, we need so much money for this program, DWAF would have planned beforehand. But what we have done, I presume I was not party to that team, would have been that we would have estimated that because the original target was 2005, it could have been so much that was required. An announcement was made, the budget was made available. Money was made available to drop. But in the process for us to start running with the program, and I'm not trying to negate what you are saying, because I think what you are putting forward is actually the picture that how things should be happening. I made an example I was reporting initially on behalf of KZN to say because there are already programs running, then instead of coming up with a total, well, we had some figures on our own. But those figures have to be confirmed with the figures that the province had. The difficulty was, I think this is the difficulty in terms of intergovernmental relations as well among departments, that we sometimes do not get the information that we want at the right time. And I'm not trying to put blame on the Department of Education. But as I said earlier on, for instance, it was before the beginning of the financial year. The figures that we got, I said about 3 months or so ago. Well, then there was no backlog in school, which we believe was not necessarily the case. Because then that information would have then said, how do we allow the national program management team in Dwarf allocate, how to advise them in allocating funding to various provinces? Unfortunately, the figure came in very late, and that is why we still need to confirm that. Other provinces, for instance, they've already appointed implementing agents to start running with the program. But of course, others fall a little bit behind. The reason why KZN falls a little bit behind is because already the province has been running with the program, and then we don't want to start a parallel process. We want to engage with them. And we are almost certain that we will be able to catch up with our targets because their vehicle is already running. In areas where there is no capacity, in areas where their program is not going to take up, for instance, they're making use of institutions like Umgeni Water in around Peter Maritzburg, Devon area, the media. And Umhlathu the water in other parts of the country, the northern part of KwaZulu-Natal. There's another part, the central KwaZulu-Natal, which does not have a capacity or a factor that is going to deal with the program. This is where then we are going to say, the figures that we have, do we have to bring in our own implementing agents to deal with this? Or the army parties that are doing very well in terms of the implementation of the program, how do they assist us in doing this? I mean, there are so many other things. The other thing that is a problem in this program is that, unfortunately, we do not necessarily want to come up front all the time and say we do not have proper planning information on the table most of the time. You find that there are schools that we are aware of, but they are not on records in the books of the Department of Education. I mean, the district offices that you deal with. You look for information, you can't find it. So we need to go back and confirm whether a particular school, they have a program around it. Also, the type of the infrastructure that we need to put in. I recall in December last year, in one of the municipalities, Uchumun, we already had a discussion about if you have a school, just like my leader was saying, if you have a school in the middle of a community that is serviced by a water board system, but the school does not have infrastructure, the first thing you do, even when you have the money on the table, the first thing you do, because that information, you don't anticipate that the situation like that. You first have to go and confirm the status of the infrastructure that you put in there and plan to link that school into the system. Because we're not going to go there and put in VIP that way. Because then we will be saying we are undermining the type of the service the school that needs to get, but there needs to be some form of uniformity. I think Chair has said a lot of stuff, but I think there is some sense in what I'm saying in terms of that there is a process of planning and there is a reality on the ground. That we may have had plans beforehand, but we may find that our plans may have been abstract, but most of the things that we do, we sit on the desk and then we say, give us the figure, and then we estimate. And then before we could go and implement, then we start getting the real situation on the ground. I think somehow I'm trying to bring that to the table to say it's not that to have received the money and we said we're not going to do anything until something happens.
Thank you very much. Hello,
Roberto.
Good Is there any other province that has got an input to make? Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. The process is similar in all the provinces. That, you know, we're set up structures in consultation with other stakeholders, like municipalities. So it's basically those structures that are driving this program. So the verification in all the provinces that is still being done.
Which province? Yeah, can we yes. Yeah, no, I understand that. And we have touched on an important issue, municipality. The other question I was going to ask was what is the relationship that you have in trying to roll out this program with the municipality? You see, because I would have thought unless in this program the situation is different, because you your money, I mean, international bulk, and all of the products that municipalities that come in with some reticulation. But in this program, it looks like you do both. Are you doing both? And how do you link with municipalities? You have touched on it, I think, for the short term. You have more. Okay.
The responsibility to provide the infrastructure institution is not the responsibility of municipalities. They do provide the bank up to the fence, you might have heard that. And then to inside the schoolyard, they cannot provide that. That's where we end up. But we will be collecting, that's why we have the thing. There's a lot of planning and consultation to determine, is there an existing bank which belongs to municipality? Are we going to connect now to the registration and connect to that bank? Because they are not supposed to provide infrastructure inside. And we do in our structures, like in our steering committees, they do sit in the steering committees. We talk to them because we cannot just go to a municipality and just provide service because it's their area. But we do have to talk about it. They don't have to implement the program. In some areas, we like the Chief Director from KZA, we do appoint them, the municipalities, because they have programs running there already, to say, here is an additional 200. Can you provide this school, which is your municipality, with services? I don't know. Maybe Chief Director Mastugani, can you add maybe information for your running program?
I just want new information, not a decision of those. Say well done and say, but if there is new information there from the provinces, yes.
Thank you, Chair. In the case of Limpopo, it's mainly a rural province. So I think the problems are just daunting. But what we have done in the previous year or 2 years or so, together with the Department of Education and IEC, we have made a working committee which handles water for schools as well as sanitation. So that's why it was much easier for the region to appoint people who will assist us. So it's just that the problem is much bigger and we need a bigger budget. Thank you.
Honorable Lamula.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, Chair, one of my questions is on municipalities, but I want to add to that district municipalities. How do they fit into the picture of providing schools with water and sanitation? Because I know in so many of our schools in the Western Cape, especially the rural schools, the district municipalities manages the supply of toilets and water, and those are the real rural schools. Does that money come from the Department of Water and Forestry, or where does that money come from? Do you relate with them to implement or to build those toilets and water, or I'll just want an answer on that one. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Shepherdson. Shepherdson, I was thinking about a lot of things now, but I'm trying to get to grips here, what's really going on. The presenter talked about the tip-up, or a top-up. The funds are not enough. And then shortcomings and so on. Now, if you look at schools, Public Works is responsible for the building, and Water Affairs, according to my knowledge, is responsible for water supply and so forth and so on. And the Department of Education must make sure that there are teachers. So, but I want to get the impression here that these departments work past one another. Honestly speaking. And I'm a bit worried about that, because if you sit down in a particular cluster and you deal with some of these issues, then you will be in a position to address all these shortcomings at that
future departmental committees or whatever you call it. So, but it seems to me somehow or the other, there's not good cooperation among these departments. So, and I mean, we are a bit concerned as a committee because, especially water and sanitation. I mean, those things must be in our schools. We had our election 13 years ago when we got so faced with a problem whereby schools don't have electricity and sanitation. And there is in no way that we can blame apartheid anymore for this kind of thing. So we will have to get our act together. Thank you, sir.
Any other question among our members? Honorable Mazumu?
Thank you, Captain, and also to thank the department for their presentation. But as like indicated, we hope maybe we'll get a breakdown of exactly which schools are we specifically like so it's something maybe that the department can maybe forward to us. And I come from Gauteng, and I can tell you that there are quite a lot of schools, but when I check the, it says only 281 schools that have inadequate sanitation. But like when we do our oversight work, we also discover quite a lot of schools. Even in Alakayana, alongside the Golden Highway, there's a school called Dudan Enzema. I'm a senator called, not the plastic, you know. And it's almost next to the Golden Highway, so that means even when you're driving alongside the Golden Highway, you actually see a person, Mchoy Agrani, by
the way. Number two.
Yes, Roshan number one, Roshan number two. And you find it in Tikal to tell you that it's not even easy to go and use a facility. It means somebody must come and hold the door when you're inside. It's easier with male colleagues. But when it comes to women, we know that we wear paint homes, we wear coffers, we wear many things underneath. You know. So it becomes a bit difficult when you have children. So hopefully the department will give us, maybe they will bring that information. You know, because then I am sure Marty, they are also working hand in hand with the Department of Education. And then the Department of Education shifted the blame. They said it's the water offense, that supply. These infrastructures, whether it's water or anything, to the schools. So somebody is not telling the truth somewhere. Because the Department of Water says, no, we give it back onto the education. Education is very hard. About our water, we can do those things. So hopefully, as they also are planning and putting in some means of identifying this, they can have maybe food soldiers. You know, it's a recommendation that I can have. Food soldiers that are volunteers. We talk about the National Youth Service, we talk about volunteers, we talk about people bringing in their skills. We can come along with my intern campuses. They can utilize some of these young people to actually be the ones who are closer, you know, rather than trying to around the kind of economy, and actually be able to get information with it, what it is that is actually needed. But then my question will be, what about on the issue of Omakohol? Because what Umam Botula indicated is that you find in some schools they are situated in Dali, and others they have to check so that they will also do not contaminate water. And in many schools that I think the person were with you when we're in Heidelberg, where they don't have amount at all, and they will tell you that they rely on boreholes. And to purchase that machine, it costs a lot of money. And when you check the Department of Education, but no, we did not buy it for that. And yet the school needs that type of a facility. Even now, we are calling a fundraiser within the money that is allocated to the school. It gets stolen. You can tell I'm a farmer. You know, so on the issue of bones, have you budgeted for such money, especially for schools that it's not obvious that Uzo Dozaman will be. It means you rely on the water that is natural, that comes under a and also, if you actually set standards, if we have to really say a school has an adequate facility, finally it passes low, then you say that school is actually covered. And then in situations whereby you see that in the Department of Education or the municipality or any other person, do you do intervention? And rescue the situation. Like Ubaba, like KZN said, you find when you check the list, some schools that you know of do not appear. Do you intervene and say, but Lana, imagine, we noticed that this school is not actually covered, like this is a show engineer to the Nende. Lana, we are generating water affairs, we are making it our own pilot to see to see to see. Lavandrana and teachers actually get those minimum standards. In a class, they must not be minimum, maximum standards. We can feel proud of the school in the whole day. They don't have to share water, and I'm a parent, or any bad friend of my neighbor, for them to actually drink to us almost. As new call actually a color flag, as a person is discovered, in some cases when there is no water, it's called a Siamma. We can't buy them a kind, because it's obvious. Our brother, they actually utilize. And lastly, on the issue of our water board, because I heard you said you also work with water board. Don't you think Lama Water Board was Jela demanded? Because Lama Water Board, they work in line with PSMA in Antonio. Don't get them that interest in the governor or everything. So the minute you put in your money there, then they will tell you there were overheads, there was admin, there was what, and the money just gets swallowed in there. Because the landlord can have a hint with Kuma, supplier, Amand, Ekobin. We have seen the landlord. And as in bed, one day I think several times meeting with them. There's never anywhere they ever spoke about an issue of food. And it's over food, it's over water, and as in bed, there's food not in there. So Lama Water Board, they're in the middle of the room, they're in the world. But I'm a huge man, they're not there.
Thank you. Do you want to comment on a member from the department? Or before that, the official comment on campaign.
Okay. I'll start from the bottom from Mrs. Mazubuka. We have the breakdown of information because when we said we're planning, we're trying to get to know what where are the schools, what technology is needed. We have that information. For them, Mrs. Pochama Kanya, we emailed the information. Do we have it now? We have this because we're going to be presenting the National Treasure on Friday that information on each and every school, where is it, what kind of technology, what kind of services. We need on Friday to present the National Treasure. We have the information that is there. And we also, we're not only relying on Department of Education to confirm the backlog. On our side, we do have our regional coordinators which are busy assisting us with it. With the confirmation of the backlog in schools. We do set standards. When we say it's adequate, what do we mean? We have in that famous lesson we have discussed with the Department of Health and Education, we had set standards to say when water is adequate, what do we mean? Some of the minimum adequate standards is like having a borehole. We have budgeted for borehole because the schools are scattered, it's going to be very difficult to draw water through bus infrastructure from faraway dams to that school, which is in the mountains. We will be relying mostly on boreholes to provide school. For instance, the East of Kengas, we have said Kengas is not an adequate service because when you have a tank, you rely on rainwater. What if it's not raining that year? That means there won't be water. We'll try and draw water from the nearby municipality which has got the bus water available. And also try and tell us the doorboard. And even in sanitation, we have standards in sanitation. The minimum standards in sanitation, the IT which we use in the community for household sanitation. And where it's near the bulk water, we will use a water bomb for that school. So we have such standards. We have agreed with the Department of Education that what kind of infrastructure to provide, which is a minimum requirement. Data may be we look at the maximum because Mr. Google said we shouldn't provide the minimum, but for us to reach everybody, we first provide the minimum requirement, which is dependent, which is defined by the terrain in that area. Do you intervene? Yes, as I said, we do intervene to confirm the backlog. Like, for instance, the chief director from KZN, they realize that it was indicated by the provincial Department of Education that the taking of his zero, but he stayed in Kenya and he knows that it's not possible. He went out there just to go and confirm to identify those schools without sanitation and water. The issue of water board, when we plan, we do agree on unit cost to say, if you are going to a school of 100 or 1,000 people, you'll need how many toilets? How much is going to be the unit cost? If you say the IP, how much a seat you can go to seat, if the toilet is good, the cost of a seat, the cost is not exactly the toilet is seat. How many seats are required for a school? And we use the standard from education because they are saying, for instance, 20 to 30 people, they need one seat. And we say how much is this going to cost? So when you are part of the implementing agent, for instance, like we know Umgeni, they are implementing the school program, but their prices have been high, but they are using the other money, not this money, to implement it, but their cost has been too high. All we have to do is to negotiate with Umgeni. If we are going to use you for this program, we have to negotiate, we have to agree to the unit cost, because so that you don't charge too much, because this money has to spread and serve many schools. So we are aware that water board system might be expensive, but if they agree to the implementing agent, they will have to implement according to the standards and the unit cost we have set for this program. So that one is taken care of. I don't know, that's a matter one of my chief directors can answer the question. Can we add on this one? The question from Mr. Zimbabwe. I've got this here. Is this fine?
Just to give more clarity on the data issue. The chairperson has indicated very clearly that as the MTF period, you know, allocations are set for MTF period, departments know well in advance that programs are coming. As our leader has said, education has been responsible for water services to school in their infrastructure delivery program, but there are backlogs that are not really given that attention unless a school falls under a refurbishment program or a new infrastructure delivery program. So the money that is now here, the program that is now new, you know, it's quite very true that it is an intervention from National Treasury as well to say, let us add more, because the problem seems bigger, but let us add more money. And therefore, DWARF has been roped in to use it as DWARF was an implementer before the role was transferred to municipality. It has those skills available. So it was roped in as sort of an intervention to say there are schools that are having backlogs, and therefore DWARF is coming in that sense. And that is where we're talking about the planning process now. That's why it's so new. That's why we're starting now, because it is a program that has just been given to DWARF recently. It was not our responsibility, but it was our responsibility to ensure and oversee. But it was an unfunded mandate to ensure that it was given budgeted by education. So what is happening currently is that education, the information is a problem. I must say this upfront. Information has been a problem. And the understanding of or interpretation of the backlog has been a problem to say backlog will only look at those that have nothing. But the picture is bigger because there are those that have inadequate that needs to be catered for. The information wasn't there. It wasn't readily available. That is why we are still talking about the planning process for this special program. And that's why we say it's a top-up. Because education in its plans, they can tell you up to 2014 how much they think they would budget for. But this water services will fall part of that. And the intervention is saying, no, let's look quickly at the backlog. And that is why. But you can do your implementation plans and everything based on information, reliable information. Education has done a survey. They were school closures. Education has done a survey last year. I mean, it was finalized, it was due for finalization March this financial year. That information is awaited by DWARF to say, these are the results of the survey that will then give us a clear backlog as well. What DWARF will do once we get that information from, it's not doing much, but they're still filling it up. We are hoping to get it, as was reflected in the presentation, end of June. Taking that information, overlay it with information of projects that are already ongoing on the ground, overlay it with rainfall patterns, geological conditions, so that we can see what type of technology will be available for that scope. So at this point in time, it is still a process to get to a plan, but as we have seen the milestones in the presentation, there are deadlines to achieve the implementation, the actual implementation. We don't have the information for per school at this moment because it's still being cleaned up. It's there, but it's not yet released. And it will only be available to us once the minister has signed it off. The information that we've shown, we said it's unaudited. It's initial information that we have. But we couldn't sit there and say, well, we don't have data yet. We're using that as a basis because we don't think if Eastern Cape is identified with a backlog next year, when the information comes, it will be said there's no information. So we're using that to start the planning processes, but waiting for the actual backlog figures as well. And the issue of budget for boreholes, just to add that in our discussions currently, we're looking at coming to sort of guidelines as to how much a toilet would cost, how much the installation of a borehole would cost. We've talked about average figures, so we are budgeting for boreholes as well. Depending, as I said, once the school is identified that it would need a borehole, then we would know that it has to get the sufficient budget for that borehole. So yes, the both boreholes are budgeted for.
Thank you, Oshia. Let me take over again because there are two number of questions we need to respond to. I think Oshia has mentioned the issue of top-up funds that was an intervention for National Service because they were done. We are not working past one another. As I've mentioned before, that at the national level, we have a steering committee where we call all these departments involved. We don't sit with only education. We sit with health, we sit with the PLG when the city's national center to discuss the issues of implementing this program of water and sanitation. And we also sit with GME because we said we are going to a school as a project to deal with the problem of infrastructure, well, we are going to water today and tomorrow sanitation and other days electricity. We treat this school as a project. And the issue of public works is true. Public works is supposed to provide. I worked for 3 years in research and public works. Public works is supposed to deliver infrastructure, but as we know, I'm not sure, I don't want to say they're not copying, but something is not happening. As a result, this money, if public works was copying, it could have been given to public works, to say public works, here's the money, go and deliver infrastructure in schools, at homelands and whatever, in schools and things. But because Graf had a set report, if you remember, in 2004, we were given 40 million, like almost in the same processes, to deal with cleanings. We delivered those things, implemented that program on time. So because of our set report, it was set 12 months to do this because the cleanings are due by December. We cannot rely on public to say, if the president said, all cleanings by December must have infrastructure, and we say, okay, public here is 105 million, go and deal with that. When we have seen public is not saying somewhere. So we are being appointed because we know of the track report. We have been dealing with infrastructure but before the next process. That's why we are doing this. And we are having national steering committees providing oversight and strategic direction. And we have provincial ones. Same departments are involved and on the ground providing oversight and strategic direction and also assisting with planning. We are not working across each other. And the role of district are not provided money from this money I'm talking about, the 105 of this proper funding, this intervention money. If they do, because some municipalities, my listeners, sisters, I can tell me, some municipalities have been providing the schools with water and sanitation because they said that if a child goes home and gets a nice toilet and goes to school and gets behind it, see, it's not fair. They let you use of their money to provide these things. That's why we need, I said somewhere, we need to integrate that to see, that to check what is being done by who. Even there are donors, foreign donors who come and provide services, schools with water and sanitation. It's not like it's only government. There's a lot happening on the ground. So now that we are in charge of this program, we need now to coordinate with all this so that we know the impact of all these programs on the ground. Because it's not one person doing what. The provinces are doing, the districts are doing, the donors are doing, the national government is doing. But we need to strengthen the coordination so that we know exactly what is going on. And as I mentioned before, we are working closely with municipalities, even though they are not supposed to deliver infrastructure. Still, they need to know, because everything goes to IGPs and water service development plan. Anything which happens in municipalities should be noted in the IGP. So we have to input this information on their planning processes. We do work closely with them. Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure that we use any questions.
Thank you very much. It's a new question. It's a new question that I've organized in a few of them.
Sir, thank you very much. Partly I'm covered by Metros here because I was just going to say it seems the departments are not talking to each other. Now you have just explained very well on this one. Here the can audit information figures here. Are they also including the former cross boundary area? Because there's no date when these figures were given to the Department of Dwarf. If you could check. And when did this program started? Is it also altogether a new program that is starting for this new financial year? Or you've been there for the past year? We just have to get an indication when this program started with the Department of Health. Lastly, I'm really disappointed for not having a rep from Northwest, my province, because even Mem Putula didn't even send an apology for those provinces who didn't feature here. But I think the figures are really, really big, too big, especially those big rural area provinces. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Lamina?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I need a very short question. The lady said there is 5% left of the budget that can go to schools for the needs of sanitation and water. Do you have any program in place? Do you know which schools you will be targeting to supply sanitation, water, and electricity?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 5% that you say will be left will be supplying the clinics with water and whatever, and then 5% of your budget will be left and to allocate it to schools, whatever. Do you have a program in place? Do you know which schools will be targeted? Schools that need these facilities the most, urgent needs for it. Thank you.
Just before you answer, one small thing also I want to say. You just said in your presentation that the provision of water is a target of 2005. And the provision of water to clean is target in December this year. I just wonder, what is the rationale in prioritizing that which, or the target of which has not been reached, and dealing with that which is actually 2 years behind time? That's my little problem. I can't understand that. Because I would have thought that because the target for provision of water to school is 2 years late, we literally prioritize that, you know, but you're not doing. What is the rationale? And then my other thing is, you see, you are in the planning stage. The whole quota is coming.
And I think my finance committee in the NCO group asked you, what is the percentage of the money that you have spent now on this critical money? Who's asked that? So it means you're not spent. What guarantee do we have, therefore, that come the end of the financial year, you shall spend this 105 million that is given to you? What guarantee do we have when in the first quarter you have not got unexpected parliament, for instance? We expect that first quarter of the year you must have spent a quarter of the that thing. Second quarter, you know, just like that. You see, you spread your money, you're just paying just like that. To avoid this whole question that we usually find in different departments in the province, everywhere, what we call fiscal dumping, where at the end of the financial year, from the end of the financial year, you don't again spend, I mean, not in a very prudent manner, because you want to be seen to be spending. This is a tendency in government departments. And once there is no spending at the end of the beginning of the year, it means we are heading for that type of a situation. What guarantee do we have that you'll be able to spend your money and spend it prudently and spend it in such a way that there is value for money at come end of the financial year, the 105, the 105. The last thing, I think I have the last thing that I wanted to ask here is, what is it? I just forgot. I'll remember in the future.
Okay.
I'll remember. Okay, can you respond?
The rationale for deciding to tell us in the money for clinics the cabinet announced in January, cabinet report that the target for clinic was December 07. And it was also said in the same meeting that the target for schools it's not there yet because of this. The ministers must go and decide when the target will be. So we had a clear target of King, which was December 07. So whatever budget became available in April 07, we felt that it should be utilized for clinics. And on top of that, the backlog for clinics is not much. It's less than 1,000 for the whole country. Then we were talking about 500 of not. Of having nothing, because even now in Guinea we have put a road we have with inadequate water and sanitation, which is less than 1,000. So we felt, let's deal with one program and put it aside. And then when the whole money comes next year, next financial year, and other year, it will all go to this, it will deal with a school program. That's why I would say I would advise ministers to agree on a 2009-2010 target, so that we get the following year allocation and other year to deal with a huge school infrastructure program, water and sanitation. But now it is we have achieved something to say by December, government has achieved the target to set 14 inches. So which was set long time ago, because it's not only we know now, we knew even when we set the strategic framework in 2003. That is the clinical target to be met by 2007. At least it should be something we can figure out what we are doing. And that is not much. And there's a lot of planning which has gone to the, not even planning now when it comes to clinical, yes? Because remember we were doing this program 2007 when we had 40 million. So systems are in place for the clinic. So when we got this money, we just said to the region, go ahead. This is the money, this is so much, this is the backlog and everything for the clinic. So at least with clinic, this money will be spent under the clinic program. I have a script before, just to say exactly, we have focused how much a month is going to be spent in programs, this kind of information we didn't bring to you, but this is very indicates how much the program for clinic program, because it's the one that's going to consume almost the whole of this money. The little 5% to answer the other question, I said it's going to be for critical schools. We are in the process of identifying those schools through the Department of Education.
that entire need of service that we can start with. Because I know one in Boston, I know one in Kenya, because I keep on seeing them on TV. But we are saying, just get those schools which are really, really critical. And this is 55% we are having. We can deal with those schools and provide them service.
Because before you go on, I'm still not very clear in my mind with the reasoning of the department. I mean, here is a big backlog. Here is a big backlog of schools. And there's a small backlog there. You say, no, no, let's concentrate on the small backlog. And leave the big backlog. I really, I know it's your policy, but I really want to be persuaded. How do you arrive at a situation where there's a big problem here? You say, no, for this year, then I'll leave this big problem and concentrate on that smaller problem. Because under normal circumstances, one of the best, we must want to reduce the big process and the big backlog of schools. Because it's a mammoth issue. You have said that in terms of clinics, it's a small problem that can actually be attended to by December, we can have finished that. But there's a big one here, we say, no, let's leave that. Let's leave this one and concentrate on the small thing. It's not an easy way out. And in a phase of attacking the real problem of schools, there's a problem. I'm saying learners are in dire need, that there's a big problem in school. You can't get learning going on in schools where there is no water, where there is no sanitation. It's a big problem. It's a very, very big problem. You say, no. Let's leave it. Let's give it 5%. And 95% must be given to the lesser problem. I can't understand the rationale behind that, honestly speaking.
Thank you, Chair. Let me sort of address one question. Is this program new? It's a new program we started this year. We got the money this year over the MTF and for 3 years, for around 3 years. This year we got a minimum part of it, which is 105 million. Next year it's got the 200 plus. The other year it's got the 300 plus million. So it's a new program. Chair, I don't know. How I'm going to convince you why the department decided on clinics here. Because in development, when you deal with development, you first deal with those areas where you are going to have a quick, what we call quick wins, areas of positive impact. Because
The populist approach.
A quick win.
You want to claim victories, you want to claim an easy victory on clinics.
I know. It's better for government to say we have the president can say I'm gonna eradicate the budget by December, clinic by December, water supply by whatever.
By 2005.
Yeah. But we try to say if the government is doing something, it has done with clinic by December, it has done budget by December 2007. And then the other problems we will deal with them as they come. We're also dealing with them. We're not neglecting the schools. As I said, there's a lot of work being done in school by different people. And even us, we are planning. Come next year, March, we will be ready just to zoom in and deal with not plan. Next year, we'll talk about what does next year do. We won't be planning next year. We'll be building toilets and putting infrastructure, water infrastructure and electricity in schools. So at least when the program, school education program starts next year, it will run. Like, every month I can come in and tell you how much schools have been provided with water and sanitation. But this year, at least the money, let's deal with the problem. We can get rid of it as soon as possible. So that at least the government, if we have done something, which we have promised at the beginning of the year. I don't know how to say it, maybe.
Now you're telling me that it's
your question is very sound, and your argument is very sound about it, but there's also nothing wrong in quick wins. Remember, as you go about a quick win approach, you are delivering the benefit as well. You're not just winning without delivering anything, so somebody benefits out of it. But the other important thing, Jeff, is that the presenter, the leader of the delegation, did indicate that the target for schools was 2005, but remember at the time it was not Dwarf High School that responsible for human services. It was the Department of Education. And she had also mentioned that since the last financial year we had about 40 million to deal with the issues of clinics. So it means that for clinics the plans were already in place. So it will be easier to move on, jump onto a moving train and start spending. Whilst we're cleaning the information that Ms. Kosha has said. Remember, you've got your National Education Department that has done the survey and a whole lot of other things. And provinces have also corroborated that information and say, this is the right information that we're working on. So we are then saying, with the 5% out of the 105, at least this year we will be doing something on education whilst we continue with our plan, whilst we're also driving. We're steaming ahead with the issue of clinics. I think when we get to that thing, Dwarf has proved, for instance, over the past 2 years in terms of the budget eradication program, that if we are able to plan properly and we engage with all stakeholders, we'll be able to plan. I mean, we've shown that in your province, Chair, before I left Mpumalanga, that we could deal with the budget, and we dealt with them. We're dealing with them in the Free State and the whole lot. So there is a chance that at least there will be confidence built in what we are doing. When we deal with the clinics at the end of this year, we'll be done with them. And then come next year, as the leader of the delegation is saying, we'll be rolling with regard to the school. We will confirm, unfortunately, we can't move away without confirming the time. We must confirm the information that we have and then move on.
Thank you. Can I just, maybe I'm unfair. If I'm unfair, tell me that I'm unfair on this question. How many clinics have you delivered from March, from April up to now, in this program? Clinics. It's our responsibility also.
I'll ask you this. Since
I'm
not
talking in
form,
for
maybe they are the ones
we have. No, national.
But when it comes to Kinumbari, I've indicated that we have already appointed the implementing agents to that, the people who are going to be constructing the toilets in what provinces now.
But clinics this time around. I'm asking about clinics now.
We at this point we can't give you a number. Construction, I don't know if it's a fair question or unfair question. Construction is we are hoping to report by end of June we would have some structures. For instance, in Popo, I know they are already having contractors on the ground. You must also remember, Chair, that there are procurement processes to be followed in all our processes. For clinics, as the cash flow indicates there, we know that for May and April and May, it indicates as well that there will be no expenditure, because we're finalizing the clinic, and a lot of work has been via the clinics of this program, because we see the schools, I mean the budget, the money for schools and clinics are in one basket. And therefore, the clinics program, it does indicate April, May, we won't spend, but June, because construction is starting in Eastern Cape and Limpopo, on this special program, on this additional funding that we're talking about.
Okay.
It must also reflect the committed funds to those programs. We'll be knowing how much they're saving funds, even if the contractors are on site.
Okay, I think at some stage we will really call you back here. And actually try to check the trend, you know? Not only on schools, but also on clinics. Also on clinics. I think because we must take this as a package. I think we'll serve up much better if you think that thing. One thing I wanted to say here is, you know, this whole question of eradication of fire, you see, your communication is perfect. I was telling the MEC in Mpumalanga, I'm just to say this because your department, I mean, budget eradication, you are boosting your eradicated budget in the country. But it's not true. You have not eradicated budget in Malawi. You might have eradicated budget in the formal settlement.
And you're talking about getting a budget, you stop there. You don't say only in the formal settlement. That's your problem of communicating with this project. So people who are staying in the areas where there are budgets, they say, but this government says that they are getting a budget, but here I am with a budget. But they are lying, therefore. And therefore, I think the way we communicate this thing must be communicated properly and say the eradication of buckets in the formal settlement, because there are many other areas where there are still buckets in this country. That's, I think, what I was just saying. The other thing that I wanted to say from me, I think, is the last one. I think you really have to verify the figures. You see, I've got figures here from the Department of Education, and I have the figures here. They don't talk to each other. They don't talk to each other. So there's a need to see to it that we get the right information. Because it's only when we've got the right information that we can really put into plan properly. Without that, we always have this kind of problem. What are the members? Do you have further questions or comments that you want to make? Is there anybody still want to make a comment from the department? Because I'm going to try to wind up now.
I'm just going to respond on your last statement. In my presentation, where I talk about figures, it says unaudited figures and unchanged prior to the database and over by education.
Yes.
They might have just analyzed their database, but they haven't handed it over. As Professor was saying, they need to hand over that internet for us to plan. But we are only dealing with the figures as we know, but they're still going to provide us with the right one. So,
I think that
cannot be the same. Thank you.
Yes.
Chair, I just need to make a comment and acknowledge what you are saying around the issue of communication. I think in many government programs that's where the problem is. But also what is more important is the definition that we give when we say we're dealing with a particular problem, or we define the bucket in a particular way. Chair, the only comment and relevant to some of the questions that one honorable member raised was the issue of the relationship between various stakeholders. And I thought it was left out as much as the leader tried to address it, but there was an information that was left out. For instance, the question around the provision of water in particular in schools. The explanation was that the Department of Public Works as an agent of the Department of Education will build infrastructure. In this regard, the Department of Water Affairs as an agent as well of the Department of Education will build infrastructure for this special program. The provision of the that is why we're bringing in local governments such as the municipalities. So then they will deal with the issues of operations and maintenance. But the Department of Education has a responsibility in terms of the budget allocation around them. So DWAF comes in to provide infrastructure, but we are not responsible for the operations and maintenance of that. Hence the critical role of local municipalities and district municipalities in that particular area. I just wanted to clarify that role, so that when there is a problem with infrastructure in a particular school, that there is a borehole or anything that runs and gives people water, or there's a toilet facility in that school, only to find that a few years down the line it does not operate. Somebody else has got to take that responsibility. Then it's the school and it's the Department of Education. So they have to make budget available. And they have to enter into proper service level agreement with the municipalities where you have a waterborne system. I think that is very critical so that we can clarify so that DWAF does not have get that health responsible for O&M in those areas.
Any other comments? There are no further comments. I really want to thank you for having come to this committee, for the engagement that you have had. I think it was very, very helpful for us to understand, let us understand the magnitude of the problem, although we might not be able to appreciate the entire problem now, but at least we know what the problem is. And we hope and want to wish you the best in trying to help to address the problem of provision of school, provision of water and sanitation in our schools. The said in the beginning that the importance there of therapy over exercise is very, very important. This is just the beginning of an interaction that we'll have with you.
will have further interactions, I mean, over the course of the year. We might want to team to talk to you almost every quarter, at the end of every quarter, to see how far you are in addressing the problem of sanitation in both clinics and schools. But for this year, it looks like we have to concentrate on clinics because the bulk of the money is going to be in clinics. But come next year and the outer year, we will pay more attention on how we feed in schools. And with these few words, I want to say thank you very much for the input. My secretary here tells me that you are invited for lunch in Mark's building at half past 12. You may be on this, but honorable members, we have to remain because there are two other items that we have to dispose of on our agenda. Thank you very much. That I really want us to hold off before the end of this meeting. If you have received the agenda of the meeting, the second item on the agenda is the adoption of the program of the third term. And I think the secretary has actually given you that. It's not only adoption, but I think maybe an interrogation, so that if one of our members have issues that they want us to put into the program, they must be able to say so. In one meeting that we had, I think it was in March, Honorable KJ said that we need to make input in it. And this is the reason why I'm bringing it here today. So that members make input in the program, which of course we do from time to time. Once again, you are putting it in front of you, honorable members, to scrutinize and critique and improve on it. Right. Okay. I also hear that the disaster list, do they want everybody?
No,
but they don't. Oh, that's why, okay, fine, no, it's right. That at the end of this day today, we will be meeting with the committee chairs to look at this program and the budget, but I want to take there a product of this meeting. I want to take there my product, but it's got to be a product of our committee. So, next term, honorable members, is a very, very short term, as you can see. There was how many weeks? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks total. Now on the first week, 31st to the 3rd, we'll be briefing to the provinces on 36 bills. But I wanted us to add one item there because the 31st will be Tuesday. And before, usually when we go to the provinces, we go there Thursday and Friday. So we still have time on the Wednesday. We have a meeting on the Wednesday before we leave. And I want to add that we deal with PANSA, Pan African Language Board of South Africa. You hear that? PANSA. They must brief us of their strategic plan for this year and blah, blah, blah. What they're going to do. In promotion of South African language, PANSA. The second week, the week of the 6th up to the 10th. Now, this is a week that is identified by the NCOP as a week on which we are doing what they call, follow-up visit to the provinces. And it is said that we must go to
Limpopo, the Northern Cape, and what? And Free State. Limpopo, Northern Cape, and the Free State. But at the same time, this is the week on which we want to hold a public hearing on the sports bill. Now, we will leave out Free State. We will concentrate on the Limpopo and the North and the Northern Cape. The Northern Cape. Because we are not due for a follow-up meeting from the Northwest, but the Northern Cape. Now, we are going to divide ourselves into two groups. And you guys, this is what we do, and we do follow up. One group will go to the Northern Cape, the other group will go to Limpopo. Now, in that very week, while we do follow up, visit schools and all sorts of things that we visited the last time when we went to those provinces, we must also find time. And the first time we'll arrange all that. Find time to hold at least one public hearing in a central place. If it is going to be a Northern Cape, arrange a public hearing in Kimberley. So that those of us who are going to the Northern Cape will have to have a public hearing held by the department that is involved also, to organize a public hearing on that sports bill in Kimberley, one of the days. The 9th is South African Women's Day. Going to be a program, going to disrupt the whole program. So it means there will only be work for 3 days. So I think it will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So one of these 3 days, maybe the Wednesday, organize the public hearing. You see? Other things can be done within the 2 weeks. But the Wednesday, the day before the 9th, so the 9th is a public holiday, and we don't expect members to work. But members will be free to join rallies on the Women's Day in those provinces that will be. The same thing will happen to those who go to Limpopo. Once we'll be going to Malamulele, because that's where we went to last time, if I'm not mistaken. But one day, all our members have to come back to Petersburg, to Polokwane, and have a public hearing there. Maybe also on a Wednesday. How are we going to find that? Then, the next week, it's a provincial week, we'll be no committee meeting. The next week, the 22nd, it will be deliberations of the and finalization of the sports bill on which we shall have public hearings. We hope to finalize that bill at that particular time. The week of the 27th to the 29th, I don't know what this is. Parliament to the people report back. So it means we do not have any. Eh? Okay, fine. And then the next week, it will be the 5th. Our meeting is to be at usual time. We'll have a meeting that we'll deal with DHC. And the suggestion is that we must leave this budget vote on the line because it's a long past budget vote now. But we must discuss, talk to them about their yearly plan. Their annual report. They must give us an annual report. I mean, the law says that every department must submit to Parliament an annual report 3 months after the end of the financial year. The financial year ended in March, April, May, June. They shall have, I mean, according to the law, by then, that report must be here. And then Wednesday the 12th, we are saying we want to visit some science projects in the Western Cape. We leave here in the morning, go to some science projects, I think, alongside, I mean, those areas, don't tell us which one.
Come again?
Northern Cape. No, it's not Northern Cape. Western Cape.
Western
Cape. London is far. It's around the Cape Town. Western Cape. I think the trainers will be...
What's that case that you had to talk about that time?
Stellenbosch. There are some projects around Stellenbosch and like 30 years around those areas. So this is a program, and I am saying, I want us to critique this program. I want us to add and subtract if we want to do so. Yes, madam?
Sir, it's just a, maybe it's a question here. Because I see here we have to change the 31st July to 1st of August, you know. On the 31st of July, Tuesday,
we are we'll be deliberating on tobacco control and social services.
Going to the fact, on the fact, we're doing Panta.
Yeah, yeah, on the fact.
On the fact.
Yeah.
We're doing Panta.
On the 31st, are we to brief the provinces on the amended bill that we received?
31st of what?
Of July.
Second message.
Yeah.
Friday.
Now, the Thursday and the Friday. The Thursday, the Tuesday allowance will be Thursday the 2nd and Friday the 3rd.
Mm.
We'll be briefing them on the two bills that we dealt with yesterday. We'll be briefing them on the two bills that we dealt with yesterday.
And we'll have the public hearings on those bills from the
13th
to the
16th. The provinces, we're going to try to encourage all the provinces because you remember those bills were actually returned because of the problem. Provinces must be encouraged to have public hearings. We might actually also want to have a public hearing here to cover ourselves. We don't know, but for now, the program says public hearings there. Any other thing? Honorable Mambi?
Thank you very much. I'm just inquiring the process. I don't see my process coming anywhere here.
In terms of what?
If you're speaking about September, to do the follow-up, I don't know.
We have gone to KwaZulu-Natal at some stage, I think 2004, 2005.
Well,
and we did make follow-up visits.
Yeah, it's a follow-up I'm talking about.
I am saying we went to KwaZulu-Natal as the NCOC, you remember, banging. And then thereafter, 6 months thereafter, we went back to that area to do follow-up visits.
I don't remember.
You don't?
No.
Okay, but we did.
I was not a party today.
I don't know. But
I don't know.
No, I'm sure you forgot. Because you see, others went to the northwest and some went to Sofia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Others went to KwaZulu-Natal and some went to northwest. I went back to KwaZulu-Natal, I remember that way.
So which means when you went to KwaZulu-Natal, you were not, we're not informed.
The whole
institution from KwaZulu-Natal, at least I was not a party to
the whole institution went there, and I can assure you, I'm sure you went, the only thing that you forgot.
No, I can't forget. We went there to take parliament to the people.
Yeah.
And we went there taking parliament now as a follow-up.
Yeah.
I know about it.
Yeah, so what
but now as a committee, as we do with all other provinces.
There is no
this
way.
This is in hospitals, this is in schools, home affairs, what's the other thing?
Keep coming.
I'm not a forgetter, Mr.
Can I just come
if you say forget your wickedness, I'm not the forgetter.
just to say that we have somewhat changed the program, whereby we are saying committees must do the follow-up now, and no longer the institution as a whole. That's the difference, and I think that is confusing.
Yeah, you see, the problem is, if you check on the whole program, there is nowhere where we use a province as a committee. There is nowhere. There's not a single province that we are using as a committee here. We are going to Limpopo and the other as a follow-up visit, just like the one that we did in KwaZulu-Natal. Because we took parliament there, then we went back as committees. Now, we're doing the same here now. So, this quarter, as you can see, is a very short quarter. I mean, it's a very short term from August to September. There is no province that as a committee we are going to visit. We do know and remember that among provinces that we have not visited yet as a committee, as a committee this time around, it's KwaZulu-Natal. This province is not the only one. There are many, many others. Thank you.
I was just talking about that.
Yeah.
Nice that you know that there is a clause that we have not visited as a committee. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, I was not talking about
taking parliament to people as a follow-up.
Okay.
I was talking about going there as a committee. Now you agree with me. So I can't forget. I want you to withdraw this.
I will draw. But there are many provinces that we have not visited, not only KwaZulu-Natal.
I'm talking about
KwaZulu-Natal. We are not
representing
KwaZulu-Natal.
I cannot talk about other provinces
because they are not my business. So, any other thing on the program, I remember? Now, you have got this thing to load also, the budget for the committee. Budget, load the budget for the committee. We're not sure if we'll be able to get all this money. We hope that by this year we'll have, in terms of meetings, about 40 meetings.
40 meetings for Wednesday?
For this financial year.
Oh, for the financial.
Yeah. Right. And then for that, the 40,000 budget day. Public hearing. We hope to have one public hearing. Outside Parliament, it is not the one that we are going to now. But that's one I'm going to think for separately. 17,000. Provincial visit, we hope to visit two provinces. Before the end of the financial year, the budget thereof comes to 225,000 rand. When you take air tickets and everything, accommodation, FMC and everything. Then, conference and workshop, we might want to have two workshops or conferences, the budget will be 8,000 rand. And then, commission to research, we might want to have one commission to research, the budget is 20,000 rand. All that brings us to 436,000 rand. Last year, we had 500 as our budget. And we spent, I mean, last financial year, and we were able to spend about 400,000 out of it. So it's not, this budget is not really far from the mark if last year anything to go by. Thank you. The last item is the minutes. The last item is the minutes of our last meeting. I'm aware that, I'm not sure from the group, all of the members who were able to read this minutes, but I know that you got them this morning. I know that you got them this morning. Because they were put in your pigeonhole either this morning or yesterday night. This morning. And we have agreed with the secretary that it's in our anomaly. Because even invitations to this meeting just came this morning, although on the other people it's not there. So we've agreed that no. It will have to be some days before we come to meet. Now, I want you to guide me whether you want us to put this minutes in abeyance so that you are given an opportunity to go and read them, or do you think we can actually dispose of them now? And I don't want us to dispose of them and not read them. But it will be an anomaly. Can I therefore suggest that we put the minutes in abeyance? We will deal with them in our next meeting, but we have not had an opportunity to read them. And another option would be to give ourselves 5 minutes to go through the minutes, to read them now, each one silently, then thereafter come back to them. Maybe that would be an option. There's still a lot of time. Maybe it's 10 past 12, but if I... 10 past 12 will be through. Can every one of us read the minutes silently?
Yeah, Chair, I think I am agreement with your proposal, Chair. Let us read through the minutes. We won't have another meeting now.
Yeah.
And then for us to keep these minutes here until when you
return, I think that's okay. Okay, good, thank you.